Wow, what a fun. We should have some fun here at Valiant. Okay, hey, welcome to the future in that the time has been pushed forward. It's Pi Day, everybody. I hope everyone enjoys large numbers or pi or both today. Hey, who remembers what happened last time? I sure do, but I want to test all of you.
I do.
Well, we've got some high numbers over here because we all leveled up.
Mm-hmm. Finally, after almost a whole year of playing,
it's a dingy level over here.
Well, hold on.
I'm teasing you.
I'm teasing you. And I think that works out about right. It just so happens to be.
Well, yeah, we've only met once a month, so.
And then when you factor in lockdown and stuff, it's been like 8 years since we started.
That's true.
Ooh. Anyway, yes, you leveled up. Anything else happened that was super special?
Everything. It was so special.
We started
very special to me.
We were in the side room that was like a workshop or laboratory, having grabbed a few items, and then we all decided to get on that platform, which started to lower as it got dark.
Mm-hmm.
Which took us down, and we
Sarna
made some light.
Was tested.
Yes.
I sure was, and I think I passed with flying colors.
Because we reached like a green area at the bottom, right? Like the ruins, and it seemed like we were in a different jungle-like section. That's where the elevator took us.
It did take you down to some ruins. If there was jungle, I don't remember describing that, but maybe there was, it turns out.
Yeah, it was like slightly forested, and the ruins did seem like almost newer facsimiles of older architectural styles, if I recall.
Yeah.
And then I, unfortunately, having Ev check out the dais before going into the pit, because we saw like a vision of someone jumping into the pit, that triggered that guardian to appear, who we tried to parlay with, but ultimately had to fight. But in success of that, we could jump into the pit.
Oh, there was a lot of pit jumping.
Yes. And that brought us to
this adventure was the pits.
Hey. That
took us into a cavern where we continued to follow the person across lava and ultimately had to fight a fire spirit, which we did successfully, and then spent a fair amount of time really gauging carefully before we jumped into a fiery pit.
Everyone else gauged carefully. I'm pretty sure the whole time I was like, come on, let's do it. Let's go. I'm going to jump.
We even left a message. Hey, we're jumping into this. Good luck if anyone comes here after us.
Heads up, any future challengers. We did jump into the pit. No idea if that was a good idea or not. No way of knowing, yeah. But it is what we did.
Yeah, we really need to try and get back there and be like, no, jumping in the pit's the right idea.
But the pit wouldn't take all of us, though. It only wanted Sarna.
Yeah, because Sarna had a slightly different experience once in there than we did.
I had a wonderful experience. I feel like I felt a little guilty at first because I'm like, man, this was very focused on me. But then I remembered that I've been taking the bulk of the damage this whole time. So I feel like I earned this. Like Sarna earned this for just being beaten to a pulp in every single episode. So thank you, Luis. I just got my relic stats ready. Mm-hmm. So I am ready to use Flare Bolt and Shadow Smith, which are both minor gifts. What Flare Bolt does is it allows you to make a spell attack roll, and that deals fire damage for every two levels the relic has, which the relic is the same level as me, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. We'll say that. So sixth level. I'm pretty positive that's the whole point of relics, is that they level up with you.
Great.
And I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure. Then the other minor gift that I have is Shadowsmith, which allows me to turn my relic weapon into a kind of shadowy tool of any kind that I would like. Simple tool or item, so I can make it into like a crowbar or a rope or whatever. So yeah, exciting stuff.
Exciting things. And then you got some glass from the glass treader, and it went away. And it was all very mysterious and fun. And you leveled up. Great. Cool. So rather than just getting to stuff right away, I figured we've had what I feel is a pretty significant milestone in terms of like cool story stuff going on and a level up and everything. Let's chat about the game a bit, if y'all don't mind. I guess first off, I'm interested in hearing like what any of you want to do next. Like, hey, I want to find my own relic, or I want to figure out what's up with those dreams that we keep having, or I just want to go get some money or whatever. You know, I'm curious if there's anything that any of you are interested in doing to see if I can maybe weave that in the future, stuff like that. This is Homebrew, and I don't know. I feel like I've thrown a couple of different storylines or quests at you at this point, and kind of I've thrown railroad tracks on the ground and be like, there they are if you want to follow them, and you've chosen to follow them every time. So if you want to do some other stuff, I at the very least will dig through my railroad track set and find a different set of railroad tracks for you later based on your requests.
I'm really interested in finding out more about the source of our essence points, where that came from, who else mm-hmm. might have them, what they might mean, how they work, mm-hmm. how do we grow them. That's the most interesting and fascinating part for me, and for that matter for Saren.
Yeah, the area that we were just in, where there was the shadowy figure mm-hmm. that was testing Sarna, and then Sarna acquired their equipment,
mm-hmm.
The strong implication seems to be that was a previous house god demigod that had the same kind of powers that we do, and there was a group of four of them, and Sarna was just tested by her predecessor, ergo there are tests for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I had the same thinking and desire, especially from a both out of character and in character perspective, wanting to know more about those four warriors, what they did, how their power was tied together, and what they did
get to, the relics,
you know, help work it, but also get relics and cool powers.
Relics for everyone.
Oh, well, they're out there.
We just have
out
to
there
find
relics.
They're out there. I'm most interested in, I want all of you to have cool stuff like Sarna has, and I want to learn more about the kind of central mystery about not just how our essence points came to be and all of that, but like it seems very tied to the history of this place, and I'm really curious about that.
Cool. Great. Then I'm glad I'm going in the directions that I'm thinking of going in the future.
Excellent.
That's great. Do y'all have any theories beyond like, oh, there's four warriors and there's four of us and Sarna got a thing. Maybe they'll have a thing for all of us. Are there any other thoughts that you have possibly that totally is just me asking and not at all like trying to weave it in later so you all feel smart in the future?
I think in general that Starstone fragments from like either before the fall or part of the fall kind of helping enhance the natural, you know, one magic source that kind of pervades Arcadia and the tree whose name I can't think of, that's in the one central country, mm-hmm. and how that like probably vines and connects all things from a very, you know, unilateral connection of all living things and power, and that maybe these four, with wherever that Starstone energy came from, or their elevation of power to help protect their people and their land, possibly keeping the survivors of the Aslanti, the I can't think of the name of the creatures, the ones who called down Fabulous. The Starstone, yes, in order to actually protect the area and, you know, keep things connected, prevent the corruption of that power and protect the people that, you know, in turn protect the land, so the land protects them.
So I guess I'll make some quick clarifications about what all happened with the Starstone and Earthfall and everything, at least vis-a-vis Arcadia compared to the Inner Sea, if only because this is actual canon that someone put into an adventure already, so I can at least point to that.
Someone?
Yeah.
Was that someone you?
Yes. Shh. I'm not trying to toot my own horn here. I just try to expound on lore here. Anyway, so Starstone came down. Yeah, Aslanti were big jerks or whatever, at least in the eyes of the Aboleth. That darn humanity, let's get rid of them. So they call down the big asteroid during Earthfall. That comes down in a trajectory that ends with it landing between Avastan and Garud and creating a little area called the Inner Sea. So it carves out that land and it creates the Inner Sea. But because of the way it's coming from west to east. And as it's falling, that's when like a bunch of stuff starts falling off of this asteroid, which I guess I'll make another clarification in that the asteroid itself is not the Starstone. It just happens to contain the Starstone in it, which is something that someone told me while I was working. That's like, oh no, that asteroid isn't the Starstone. It's just a big asteroid. And then the Starstone was some chunk of something that was stuck in it. Okay, great. Cool. And the stuff that falls, some of it is like sky metal, so adamantine and all this other stuff. And some of it was near the Starstone. So it happens to have been, I don't know, I guess irradiated by the Starstone, and that's why it can give some people cool powers, and that's how the saints got their stuff back in the day. So they weren't full on gods the way the stars touching the Starstone would make you right away. But there you go. That's where that came from. Whether or not that ended up being something that landed all over Arcadia, we don't know. But yeah, it could be that. I mean, the Saints of Sepadl like use their power to literally crumble mountains and then make their land and like keep their area safe as a result. I think the Kumaro tree and the big ley lines and everything that happened was just happenstance after the fact. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it was built to like defend more people, but all I know is that thing died over 100 years ago thanks to some jerk, and the Kumaro tree has only recently been replanted, and it, even if there is more of that to be used, it's going to take many years to reestablish any kind of ley line network or magical network, and that'd be interesting to see what happens with that. But I don't know. That's to the south. That's far away. You figured something out some other time. Is there anyone in Altamita that you're more interested in learning about or chatting with? Sarna's Nana.
I mean, that was my immediate thought, but that was also kind of somewhat a joke.
No, always Sarna's Nana. It's the most important NPC in this game.
She gave us snacks, so it's true. We have to protect her at all cost.
Yep.
Javi, if he says something, I think you were muted.
You're totally right, I was. I said the most important unnamed NPC in this game.
Yeah.
None of us actually know her name, because we all just call her Nana.
I mean, it's like the lady who runs the teriyaki place by Paizo. Mm-hmm. We call her Auntie, and none of us know her name, which I feel awful about, but it feels like way too late to ask her. Anyway.
How nicknames come to be and then they just stick. Clearly, we need to periodically run into Charmy and see how Charmy's doing.
That's also important.
Yeah, I would like to see Charmy's journey into a hero.
We need to know that he hasn't died.
Yeah, as long as Charmy's fine, I'm satisfied, but...
Well, I could be very mean and use Charmy as just, like, very easy drama intention. Be like, oh, Charmy's in trouble. But I think that's not the kind of thing I want to do to Charmy. That would be cruel.
And he's your son as well.
It's not nice to... Like, one thing I feel about fictional characters is, like, I know they're fictional, but being mean to them and cruel to them is me still being cruel and mean, whether or not it actually hurts anyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that to Charmy. He's a good guy.
It also might be more dramatic if you did it to Sarna's Nana.
Oh, no.
Luis is like, I don't want to be cruel. And Jess is like, twist the knife.
Yeah.
Take the old limit.
Treat NPCs like stolen cars. Just terrible things can happen.
Well, this is all fantasy. It's Wild West stuff, though. Is there any fun Wild West stuff y'all want to do? I mean, you have guns. And they are very effective weapons when used correctly. Telekinetically. But, I don't know. You've been into the deserts. You've been into mines. Is there any, like, any Western tropes that you want to hit on? If you want to do a train robbery or something, I can try to figure out something.
Well, if we're doing Western themes, clearly at some point we need both a train robbery and a stampede.
There you go.
Not necessarily at the same time, but...
Stampede robbery.
A stampede of trains all being robbed.
Someone opens the gate and lets out all the trains, and now there's a train stampede, and you gotta get them all back together.
Sounds like a Thomas the Tank Engine episode.
I have a question. I realized I have no idea how to calculate my spell attacks, considering I don't actually have... I'm not trained in them. And that is a thing that one of this...
Relics.
One of these relic gifts does.
Let's look real quick at these relics. Let's...
Probably have a big threat to the town try to come in and take it over at some point, too, that we have to...
Mini gifts allow for a saving throw, have other abilities that change as the relic goes up for level. The DC for any saving throw called for by a gift is either its owner's class DC or spell DC. And then the spell attack modifier would be your class DC minus 10.
Perfect. Thank you.
So if my math is correct, or you're looking at a DC 22 for your class DC, is that right?
I forget how to calculate class DC.
You're trained in your class DC right now, so that's 2 plus your level, which would be 6, so total of 8. And then your key ability score, which would be strength.
And that's 4. So yeah, that's 22.
Yep. Wait. So your spell attack modifier would be plus 12.
Great. Thank you.
There we go. Anyone listening, if you're playing with relic rules, that's how you figure that out. We did it. We're also teaching people here. Okay, well, I like these ideas. I think going forward we'll still be able to explore most of what people are interested in learning about. I guess also as time goes on, events will happen, and I'm sure you'll glom on to like, oh, now we want to do this thing, because that's how players be in RPGs. You introduce some random NPC and suddenly that's the character everyone loves. Great. So you have returned to Altamita and I think you got a bunch of money for selling that glass. I forget how much I gave you.
So I hope someone wrote it down. I have 724 gold right now, but I can't remember what I had before. That's a ton of gold.
I have 662 gold, but I don't remember quite what I had before.
We each got 650 a person.
There you go.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. I've got
822.
Well, I mean, he leveled up. If there's ever a good time to buy equipment, that would be the time to do it, I think.
Should we have a little shopping segment?
Yeah. Man, you can like shopping. Hey there, Luis here. It's me, your GM for Valiant. This episode marks the start of a session that was full of improvisation for me on the GM end of things. I went into the session with literally no notes about what was going to happen in the session. I guess that's not entirely true. While I didn't have any notes written down, I did have one expectation about what I was going to do in the session. I knew I was going to go in and ask the players for their thoughts on the game. I always envisioned Valiant as a collaborative story, more so than any other campaigns I've run. Typically, while running an adventure path, the players get to add to the story with how their characters interact with events and NPCs. Since Valiant is a homebrew campaign, I saw it as an opportunity to help guide the story with more than just reacting to the goings-on. I wrote a lot of supplemental material for Valiant, like a write-up of Altamita and its various locations, to help support this idea. If the players all know who the important people in town are, then the players can decide who they might want to speak with about certain matters, or who might have the interesting plot hook they want to follow. If the players know the surrounding environment, they can decide to visit one of these locations without needing a plot hook or a quest to lead them there. I wanted to give the players agency, and I think giving them information was super important for this. Beyond that, though, taking the time to speak with everyone gave me a chance to learn about the things we can do next. Knowing that Owen was interested in learning the source of the essence power that everyone has let me know that I can flesh that out a bit more and find a chance to present it later. Knowing that Rob wants to learn about the shadowy figures means that my efforts in thinking through about future encounters with the figures hasn't been a waste, so I can continue planning to introduce more of that in the future. Had they given me a different response, I would know to maybe not focus so much on the shadowy figures or something else along those lines. I think it's important to open a dialogue with your players, not only during a session zero to discuss expectations for the game, but also later down the line to get a feel for how everything is going. You might not realize that your players are interested in something different than the current goings-on until it's too late. Asking about the ongoing adventure campaign can be a blessing. Recently, I was running my home group through an adventure that was full of combat encounters. After having done about half of the encounters or so, I checked in with them and we realized that we collectively thought that the encounters had grown to be a bit of a slog by this point, and some of us were even dreading having to do more encounters. Rather than force everyone to keep going on with combat because that's what was written in the adventure, I trimmed what unimportant combats were left and moved things ahead to the next important event that was more of a skill challenge instead. Everyone was fine with doing so, and I could tell a number of us really appreciated the break from the combat for a bit, including me. I think that it also helped make that final encounter with the boss all the more exciting because everyone had a chance to take a break from combat for a bit and come into this final fight reinvigorated. So, what I'm saying is, take some time to talk with your group every once in a while. It doesn't have to be after every session, though it definitely could be. But I think maybe every level up or so, or maybe after major story beats would be a good time to check in. If you're worried that you're checking in maybe too often or not enough, bring that up too during your next chat. Get a feel for what seems like a good amount of time before your next check-in. I think that your group will appreciate knowing that you care enough about the game that you want to see how everything is going. So give it a try. Next episode, I'll take some time to talk about improvising things during your sessions, but I think everyone is itching to go shopping, so we best get back to things. Let's hear that guitar. So Altamita is a level 8 settlement, so you can get level 8 items here if you want to spend money on a higher level item. Go for it.
How many do I have?
Yeah, fun stuff. Buying items. It's going to make great podcasting. People are going to love
listening. It looks like basic magic armor is, in fact, a level 8. Plus 1 resistant is a level 8 item.
Plus 1 armor, I think, is level 5 item. And then the resistant gives you the extra bonuses to your saving throws.
Saves, right.
Yeah, so yeah, if you want to get that, if you have the money, feel free to go for it.
Plus 1 to AC and plus 1 to saves sounds really solid to me.
Yeah, that is, I think, what I'm going to do. I already have a plus 1 armor, but I could use a good old-fashioned boost to that.
All right, so the resilient rune for your bonus to saves would be 340 gold. Who has this for sale?
340, you said?
340 gold. You know what? Let's role play this a bit so it's not just sitting around buying items.
Excellent.
Because got to fill some of this time somehow. Guess who has magic items for sale? It's someone you know already. A cool wizard by the name, well, cool mage crafter, I think is what I gave her as her role. By the name of Ayla Mesa. Your buddy Ayla Mesa. She is an expert magic item crafter and would be the one to help you get your runes put onto your gear and whatnot. So I'm going to guess that sometime after you get back, you probably rest for a few days or whatever. That's when you decide to cash in and get your cool gear. Would the four of you have decided to go shopping together? Or would this be like a individual, I got chores?
Scary's all in favor of us all shopping together. That's a good way to build our reputation, if nothing else.
Yeah, and Ev was expecting to spend lots of time with Ayla Mesa anyway, informing her of what all went down with the exploration.
We all currently have, like, an upsetting amount of money. I think it would be safer to stick together.
Especially in the West.
Upsetting amount of money it is. All right, so I guess at some point, are you morning shoppers or afternoon shoppers?
Afternoon.
Afternoon.
There's no point doing anything in the morning.
Very well. So in the afternoon, Altamira is a lively place. And, you know, you're going about your business and make your way north in town towards Ayla Mesa's big tower thing. I think she has a tower. What did I even say it is? Wiseman's Magical Emporium. I just say that it sells stuff. Great. I didn't describe it. It's got a tower. It's a large kind of workshop area, and then it has a kind of narrow tower that goes up a bit, which is where Ayla Mesa's room is at the top. There we go. It's sorted out now. It's canon. And as you approach Ayla Mesa's shop, she once again, with the wards that she has in place, gets notified and hops out. And you see her hop out the front door and yell, "Evan! Oh, all of you are coming. Well, if you're all coming, come on in."
Oh, yeah. We will definitely all go in.
I don't believe I've met her before, so I'm going to say that. Heard a lot about you. My name's Sarna. I'm the muscle around here.
But, I mean, obviously, yeah.
I've got my entire guns showing. As in my arms and also my literal gun.
Sarna has expert proficiency with guns. All right, Sarna, yeah, I think I heard your name, and this must be Saren?
Oh, yeah, Yeah, I'm Saren. I hope you've heard my name. I've done a lot of work to make sure you heard my name.
Yeah, I've heard your name in other contexts. Sounds like you put on good shows at the inn.
That's the hope. Whatnot.
But I've also heard, well, so it's the Forias that are the living gods. Or, sorry, the living gods. Yeah, keep it quiet.
Thank you.
Yeah, just to us.
Appreciate your discretion.
Are you looking to figure out more about what's going on with your whole god thing?
I mean, we are, but that's actually not why we're here today.
No. Yeah. We got some glass.
All right. Okay.
That's it.
It's worth some money.
Okay.
We need to unburden ourselves of some gold.
Oh, I see. Yes, of course.
We went out into the desert with the what they call Ev, the monster kings. Beast kings,
yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we found the glass treader.
You what?
Yeah. Yeah, we found the glass treader. So that's why we got all this glass now.
You managed to kill the glass treader?
No, that's not what we said. It left.
We found the glass treader, and now we got the glass.
It's a really large creature.
I'd say we came to an understanding with the glass treader more than anything.
Yeah.
We experienced the glass treader.
Yes, and survived. Yeah. And survived.
That's accurate, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where is it now?
It moves.
Oh, it disappeared.
Yeah. Lightning, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Turns out the reason no one knows where it is because it doesn't sit in one place.
Fair enough. You must have had quite the encounter then, but if you have some glass...
It felt like we jumped into a fiery pit, yeah.
You know, sometimes that I have those days too. I get it. Well, if you have glass from the glass treader, I am not about to pass that up. Who knows what? My mind's just reeling. What I could do with such a thing? Do you mind if I look?
Yeah, you can see the glass. Good chunk.
We will happily present it for your inspection and consideration, especially since we're hoping to walk out of here with different things of value. Mm-hmm. So
yes, very much.
Yeah.
So throw it on the table. Crunch. Sheen. And she begins to look it over, and after a moment, how'd you even get it off the glass treader?
Oh, it gave it to us.
Did you find a way to communicate with
it? As I said, we experienced the glass treader.
You could say so.
It's a long, fascinating, hard-to-believe tale that I am turning into a song even as we speak. But that's going to both take a while and very carefully not be 100% accurate.
You could say we looked inside the glass treader.
Wow. Your godliness is a lot more than I expected at this point. So, well, you got this glass. I'm excited. What are y'all looking for then? Want me to? I don't know. I look around, and with looking around, you see there's just a bunch of trinkets and whatnot all over the shelves and stuff, half completed projects and tools and scraps all laying around, and some of it is technological in nature. So you see gears and all this other stuff, but you also see what look to be like magical reagents and weird glowing stones and all this other stuff about. Anything you need, I can probably just make it. Give me a bit of time and I'll put it together. But let me know what you're looking for and I'll see what I can do.
I I firmly feel it is time to rune up my duds so that they're a little more defensive and protective of me.
Agreed completely.
Owen, what kind of armor are you wearing?
Padded.
Padded armor. What does that look like?
I picked padded because it looks a lot like the piece of art we have for Saren. Nice sturdy shirt and a big bandana and some good pants and boots.
All right. Well, then Hila Mesa asks you to take that shirt off and I'll see what I can do.
He'll switch into his fancier singing shirt so that she can have his adventuring shirt.
All right, as she takes the shirt, she says, and y'all let me know what else you're gonna want, but I'll get to working on this. And she starts grabbing her tools, and you see her. I know it's padded armor, so effectively she embroiders a very small rune on the breast pocket. That kind of looks like it's just regular adornment, but you in the know are like, oh yeah, there's a lot of magical energy on there, and gives it back to you after a little bit. Says shirt's tougher than ever. So
I also feel like we did a whole lot of climbing in this last adventure, and I'm not the world's best climber. And I understand it's possible to enchant a rope so it climbs for you.
I think I can do that.
And I know that comes in multiple different levels, and I'm sort of looking for that greatest upper level of climbing rope. I have the feeling I may be climbing more often than the less impressive ropes allow for.
Looking for the latest model.
You're always looking for the latest model. And rope's important. This is one of the things I've learned out here in the far, far, far west.
Well then, yeah, I think I can give me a bit and I can do that.
Great.
Thanks. Owen's dropping 300 gold on a rope of climbing. Look at him go.
Greater rope of climbing, sure am.
Wow.
That's some good shopping.
I support you. Whenever you're playing a character with low strength, there's always going to be that problem. So,
yeah, no. Rope of climbing seems like the way to go.
Very well. She snags a rope, and then you see her grab a bunch of small metal plates, we'll call them like quarter sized, and grab just like a whole basket full of those. She grabs a rope. You see her do some incantations over the metal pieces here, and they then kind of float up and look like they phase into the rope, like along the length of the rope. There's like one at each little kind of knot segment thing. And then she grabs what looks like a little precise, like kind of jeweler's hammer, and kind of knocks it along the length of the rope, and this little metallic ting as this happens. And then she says a few magic words, and the rope coils back up into like a coiled rope, and hands it over. She says, here you go, ready to go. Also, add an extra little bit to it. Whenever you feel like it, if you, for whatever reason, need, you can, she whispers in your ears, say that word, and it'll rattle like a snake. Yeah, need to scare off people or something. Yeah, can help. But otherwise, there you go. Climbing rope, ready to go.
That is a really wonderful addition that I am already super excited about. And carefully writing down so I don't forget.
Yeah, so it's a rope of climbing, and the one extra command word to have it do rattlesnake rattle.
I've got my stuff picked out if we're ready. Sure. I reviewed your catalog before coming in today, so I appreciate great. You preparing that.
I'm glad that I'm able to get the parcel service to deliver those anymore. They say, it's just they don't like having to run up and down to each street and then toss them onto in front of the doorways every morning, but I think it's worth it.
The Searing Rune Buck catalog.
I think Nan's catalogs are very important to her.
Oh yes, she gets them. She gets them no matter the weather. She's never bought anything, but she does love to read them. So I would like to get. I'd love to get a little bit of that good resilience magic for my armor. So I'd love to do that, and then also. The Ring of the Ram I noticed in there. That seems great because right now all I can do is hit things with a sword or with my fists or with a gun. And we've come up across some metal things and some other things that don't seem like that weapon kind of effect is quite as powerful on them. So something that another kind of option for fighting foes would be great.
All right, Sarna is wearing what kind of armor?
I have a plus one, or I have Moonlit Chain right now, which is
the Moonlit Chain
silver chain shirt. All right.
Which I assume still ends up making it so your character looks like your character art. Great, cool.
Yes, exactly.
we have unchecked the box that, or we have checked the box that says hide armor. So you can have your character still look cool. Exactly. You also have the hide helmet option, so you still see your face at all times, et cetera, et cetera. So she asks you for your armor, and when you hand it over, she pauses. Where'd you get this armor?
Oh, yeah, that was also from the Glass Treader.
This is a gift from the Glass Treader.
The Glass Treader made you armor?
I don't know if it made it or just had it sitting in its stomach or what.
In its stomach? Yeah. What?
Were we really still even in the treader at that
She point? Places it down and says, before I make any more things, I think I'm going to need to hear exactly what happened with this glass treader.
I guess that's fair.
So there was these buildings on top of the glass treader. So we climbed up it to look in the buildings. And then we went down a hallway. And there was a lift that we took down into the glass treader. And that took us to some ruins. It was unclear at that point if we was still in the glass treader or if something magical had occurred.
Oh, it was clear something magical had occurred. We just didn't know if that was occurring in the glass treader or if we were elsewhere. But something magical unquestionably occurred.
Right. The glass treader was very magical. It was a magical experience.
Did you go out expecting some magical experience with the glass treader?
Did not expect it to be real. I thought it was a fool's errand. So color me surprised.
Yeah.
I'm going to assume you've kind of recounted the entire thing, not just what Jess said here. just because we don't have time to sit here and basically play the entire last few episodes for people.
We'll give her the URL so she can listen to them herself.
Yeah, she uses her favorite podcasting app to download Valiant, available now on nodirectionpodcast.com.
There we go.
And she, after having caught up, she she wonders, what? All right, so you mentioned four figures. Great. You know, one of them was testing Sarna. All right, but what was... you said you mentioned shadows and whatnot among the crystals and stuff before you entered the temple.
Yep. Shadows and whatnot.
Oh, who was that?
And they was speaking. I think it was the shadow figure that tested Sarna, maybe.
I thought the same thing.
Kind of following, right. Kind of following us.
I see. Okay, and the fact that the glass treader stopped shooting its lightning at you when you got on top, I don't know, it feels like it was waiting for you or something.
That's
I hadn't thought of
possible.
That.
I hadn't thought in those terms, but maybe.
It's just I don't know. This you're gods now, and maybe there are people out there that can recognize that.
We did only go because Carmala had a vision of where to find it and happened to come here and that's hire true. Us.
That is a good point. That vision, so, that's not her normal thing, right? Like, she's not normally a kind of seer, right?
Not that I know of.
So you gotta wonder where that vision came from.
She had inspiration and just happened to come in through town on the way, so we went along.
All right, well, any more mysterious things happen to y'all, if you don't mind, I'd like to be kept up to date, if only because, you know, if there's some other magical forces at play here, you know, who knows, maybe someone gave you this power or someone's manipulating you with this power and y'all don't want to be caught with your pants down. If that were to be the case, and maybe I can sort out where this is all coming from. If y'all don't mind, if you don't want to do that, that's fine too. I get
yeah, it. I figured I would keep you updated as I came through since I stopped in.
That so just often. Seems smart.
Well, she hands over Sarna's new chain shirt. And it's now much more resilient than it used to be. And she has a ring for you that she also puts together. And says this is the Billy Goat ring. It does the same thing. I prefer the Billy Goats.
I'm writing that on my character sheet.
They're cuter.
Billy Goat ring under my equipment. Amazing. Quick question. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, please leave notes so you know exactly what the ring is meant to be in
game. I have the stats in a different place.
Because I have done that in my own history where I like write down a silly name for a thing and then later it's like, I don't know what this is anymore.
That's amazing. I have a quick question. She has been in town for a while, right? Like, she's a local?
Ayla Mesa? Yeah, she lives here. She's been here for as long as y'all can remember.
So I've probably not known her my whole life because I don't really just like randomly go into magic shops. But, you know, I'm familiar with her. I'm thinking about, like, you know, this is hilarious because I just excitedly jumped into a pit last session, but I'm always a little bit suspicious of random spellcasters. But I think if she's a local and, like, I've known who she was my whole life, I probably am more trusting of her.
Yeah, she's been here for as long as you've been alive. How old is Sarna, I guess?
26, I think is what I said.
There we go. Sarna's in her 20s. Or in their 20s, excuse me. And yeah, so as long as Sarna's been alive, Elamis has been here. And that's one of the benefits of, you know, being an elf. Kind of just are around for a long time.
Nice.
Also, Sarna is now, in a way, kind of a spellcaster themselves. So, with their essence points and now their relics being able to shoot stuff and make shadow stuff. I don't know. Sarna's looking pretty suspicious to Sarna. All right. Jess, what are you looking to get?
Well, I'd like it if you would make me a wand that I can use to cast the spell Haste.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, but easy enough. What kind of wand are you looking for? What do you want it to look like? Appearances matter, you know.
I mean, clearly it should have an ivory handle and a trigger for casting it. And
okay.
Get a nice holster with it and sling it with your six shooters.
Yeah.
So
that sounds reasonable.
A gun that casts haste.
No, wand. It just
happens. It's a wand. To be the shape
of a gun. Yeah. Oh, it's a.
You pull the trigger and it shoots a spell. I like this.
All right. She puts that together. And she adds some extra flair to putting it. I mean, it is a gun. in shape and everything.
Oh, give it some feathers.
She gets some feathers together. And does just that, put some feathers on the bottom so it looks like a little tassel, little bit at the bottom. And she adds an extra bit of flair to it in that she's like, oh, you know, pointing at someone, make him go fast. But you can also point at someone and make him dance.
By threatening them? Well,
yeah, sure. That's fine and all. But she adds an extra bit of flair to it in that if you overcharge it, it will cast a command. But you have to overcharge it to get the command to do it. But there you go. It is normally a wand of haste that happens to have the ability to, if you're willing to break it or risk breaking it, you can cast command out of it instead.
I pointed at Sarna. How you feel about having this wand pointed at you?
You know, it instinctually is a little weird, but I'm all about concepts. All about that mm-hmm. Real thematic stuff. So yeah, I think it's great.
Excellent. I holster.
Sarna's never said anything like that before in their life.
Is that all you're looking to get? I think that's a lot of money, like 700 gold or something.
Third level wand. Yeah.
Anything else you're looking to grab?
I haven't decided yet.
That's fine. Then you will do that off screen at some point. Ev.
Yeah, I was thinking about this last night, actually, and the runes are a great idea. So I'd like the same two runes on my clothing, if you wouldn't mind, mm-hmm. for some protection, some resiliency.
She doesn't ask you to take off your shirt. She instead just comes in and throws it in while you're wearing it, and yeah. Seems to intentionally poke you a few times with the needle.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much.
I bet you're feeling all better now.
Oh, just I feel alive, that's for sure. I was debating which staff I wanted, but I realized I think I can get both, and then I'll just choose between the two any given day, maybe. I'd like a staff of fire and one of healing, please.
You got it. And she puts us together, I guess. I guess she'll make them out of wood. Sure, wood is fine. Wood is boring, but wood works fine. In addition to...
I prefer some sort of watery motif to the Staff of Healing, if possible.
I thought you were going to ask that for the Staff of Fire, and she was going to shut that down right away.
I love it conceptually, right? But
Staff of Steam. Hot steam. So, yeah, she gets the Staff of Fire put together. She adds a bit of flair to that as well. Sorry, Sarna doesn't get flair because Sarna gets a relic already, so...
That is totally acceptable.
The Staff of Fire's flare is that it, you know, you can just turn it on or off with the, it has the light cantrip built in.
And oh, I love it.
It'll glow with the warmth of a fire.
Perfect.
But otherwise, it's a Staff of Fire. What level did you get it at? The Greater Staff of Fire?
No, just the normal Staff of Fire normal. For All right. now.
Okay, so you get to produce flame and cast Burning Hands once a day. There you go. Mm-hmm. And Staff of Healing, yes, it has a water motif.
Wonderful.
And you get that. And what are you getting, the eighth level version of that one?
No, the standard level.
Standard. Okay. All right. So getting the two, you have the staves. Anything else you're looking to get?
No,
because you spent the money on the
runes,
as well.
The staves. I feel like I'm being greedy already.
All right. Very well.
It's not greedy when you're spending money for it.
True.
Yeah, the whole point of having money is putting it back into the economy, right? You don't want to hoard it. You're supporting your friendly local mage crafter.
In fact, holding on to it is a greedy thing.
Normally I would, between all of us. I don't want it to get out. I would donate some and maybe give some to some of the people around town that need it. But considering the trouble we've run into and what we probably have to go out investigating, I think we might actually need it. Especially, I think the Staff of Healing can be a little help.
But I feel like throwing our money...
I got two options. You finished.
I was just going to say, I feel like throwing our money around town to people who don't know what we've been up to is probably mighty suspicious.
Throwing your glass all over the place.
Throwing glass.
All right, so I have two options for what I could do with the remainder of my funds. I could get the same armor runes that all the rest of y'all are getting, or I do already have a Staff of Healing, and perhaps Ale Mesa could make it, you know, better, greater, one could say.
I think that's a good idea.
The problem with doing that, though, is that I'm about 20 gold short.
Well, that's not a problem.
I'm happy to donate to help you out there.
Yeah, if you're wanting to upgrade the Staff of Healing that you're going to carry around with the rest of us, I am happy to throw in some gold to help make that happen.
All right, excellent.
So, Jess, you started with the Staff of Healing, right? All right. What does it look like?
Oh. Probably has like very strong quattle theming.
Mm-hmm. It's got feathers.
Feathery, snaky, scaly.
Yeah. What's it made out of?
Probably are there like weird restrictions on druids in second?
Yeah, but I think that's for armor only, so.
Okay. I think probably a combination of wood and metal and bone or tusk.
Yeah, you can't use metal armor or shields, but everything else is fine. So, metal, cool beans. So, yeah, you hand over your Staff of Healing. She does the work of making that better. I guess you would just pay the difference between the regular staff and
that was what I was
greater staff. Yeah. So 360 gold for that. You already got command. Let's see if there's anything else I can think of. I got it. All right. You see her rush upstairs real quick and come back down holding a pillow. She says, I got some, actually. I want to see if this works. And you see her like do some bit of magic, and the pillow starts to unravel, much like when you pull on the thread and it just does like the cartoon thing where it completely unravels, and the thread itself, you see it kind of wind up and around the staff itself. Once it's fully unwound and then rewound around the staff, it phases in and kind of gets absorbed, and few more hits of her little hammer, and you see her inspect it very thoroughly for a while, and she then turns to Ziadani and says, "All right, if I fall asleep, just wake me up."
All right.
and you see her walk over with the staff, sit in the chair, and nod a few times, and then close her eyes, and then she kind of slumps like she's fallen asleep.
I shake her shoulder and wake her up.
She wakes up and says, you waking me up? Yeah?
Yeah.
Right? You woke me
yeah.
up?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, okay, good. It works. Here you go. And she explains that she's added a bit of a restful magic to it, where as long as you have the staff around, when you go to sleep, you can just fall asleep within seconds whenever you want. You don't have to worry about staying up and thinking too much and keeping yourself awake and all that. When you want to sleep, you'll fall asleep.
I could use one of those Luis, in real life.
You just created the magic item I personally in the real world want more than anything else.
Yeah. Oh, and then I went to the same place right away.
Yeah. This is a good companion item to the pillow shield.
Well, I think you have spent all your glass money.
I remembered. Yeah. Owen, do you want to split the 20 so each of us take 10 out of our gold?
Good to me.
Oh, I can give some.
I mean, yeah, splitting 20 by three ways might be a little challenging. Right. I'm happy to.
Well,
to
7-7-6 if we want to. That's not a big deal. But no,
I'm saying I paid 10.
All right. We each pitch in 10. I'm good with that.
Perfect. Okay.
Rob will just have to pitch in next time. So
yeah.
Money. Quick. Just say, be like, oh, so yeah, Danny needs 300 gold. Time to cash in.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I could also use some of them armor runes. Somebody wants to.
I don't have enough to help for that, unfortunately.
Once this is all put together, she obviously has crafted this all very quickly, which is much faster than the rules allow, but who cares? It's my story.
She had a lot of projects already like started, and she just needed a little time to finish them.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
She's it's like being a line cook. You have everything already kind of ready to just be thrown together into the final meal.
Ev knows no mortal wizard should be able to do this that quickly, but he's not going to question it.
But when she's all done with that, she just sits down, takes a break. She seems really, like, effectively, she's got the runner's high kind of effect from having crafted a bunch of magic items. She like, thrives on it. So she looks like she's just had the time of her life having put those together, especially with, like, figuring out the little extra flares that she's added to some of these things and put them together. But she sits down, catching her breath, and just turns to y'all, what are y'all going to do now?
We hadn't thought that far ahead.
This has been a No Direction production. Valiant is an original homebrew campaign and is possible with the support of listeners like you. If you would like to support Valiant and the rest of the No Direction network, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/nodirection. Join us next time for the next episode of Valiant.